Money Radio. Thank you for joining us, and it is a pleasure to welcome Stuart Friedman. He is the Practice Professor of Management at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania, founding director of both the Wharton Leadership Program and the Wharton Work-Life Integration Project, and author of a new book, Leading the Life You Want, Skills for Integrating Work and Life, Leading the Life You Want by Stuart Friedman. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Leading the Life You Want, there are a lot of folks who have taken a look at the basic idea of an integration of work and life and everything else. And for many people, it really is problematic. They get caught up in one or the other at the expense of one or the other. What have you been able to figure out on this?
Well, that's a great question. And it's true. Everywhere I go, there's a sense of feeling overwhelmed or out of control. Things have gotten to be difficult, and not life is not what we were prepared for growing up because of the digital revolution, because of changes in the role of men and women in society, and cultural values that people have about what it is that they expect of work now and how they want to have a greater sense of meaning or purpose or social impact. So there are many forces at play that have created a different kind of world. And unfortunately, most people still think in terms of balance as opposed to trying to create a greater sense of harmony or integration among the different parts. And the problem with balance is that it assumes that you have to make sacrifices all the time, that you can only have one or the other. And what I have found in studying leaders at all levels and people really at all stages of life and in different cultures around the world is that it's possible, not easy, but it's possible to have more of, quote, it all than you think you currently have. But it requires some dedication to developing skills and some persistence and, you know, sometimes a little bit of luck. But it is possible, and what I try to do in this new book, Leading the Life You Want, is to show through the stories of six great Americans how they have cultivated their capacities for being real. That's the first key principle. Knowing what matters most to you, your values, your vision. Being whole, recognizing that there are these different parts of your life, work and home and community, however you define that, and your private self, your mind, body, and spirit. And then the third principle, being innovative, acting with creativity by continually experimenting with how you get things done. And there are a certain set of skills that you can develop that these six great leaders demonstrate that enable them to bring together the different parts of their lives in a way that is mutually enriching. It is possible. It's not easy, but it is possible.
So the idea is to be real, to be whole, and to be innovative. And there
That's
is
it.
A specific skill set for that. What are these skills that can help us achieve that?
Well, the good news here is that anybody can practice and develop these skills. So at the very beginning of the book, and indeed free online right now, you can go to a site. If you go to totalleadership.org, you'll see you can do an assessment of yourself on the skills that are associated with each of these three principles of being real, being whole, being innovative.
And how do people usually do on that test?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I just came from a session where I did this with a group of 100 MBA students. And, you know, the important, they score less than perfectly, which is what you'd expect. And they see how what their strengths are and what their areas for improvement are can help guide them to taking real action to exercise and practice the skills that they want to work on. And that's what the back half of the book is about. There's a set of exercises that anybody can do to strengthen the skills that you want to focus on. So when it comes to being real, for example, the skills are, I know how important each of the different parts of my life is to me. I make choices about how to spend my time and energy that match what I really care about. I have a vision for where I'm headed and the legacy I want to leave. Those are some examples. The skills for being whole have to do with the following. I communicate with people important to me about expectations we have of each other, and I make sure that these expectations are clear. I look for opportunities to help other people. I'm able to maintain boundaries between the different parts of my life. So that has to do with, again, how the whole fits together. And then for being innovative, the skills have to do with the following. I focus on results. of my efforts to accomplish things that matter, and I'm flexible about how to achieve them. I seek creative solutions to conflicts rather than sacrificing one part of life for another. I'm willing to question old habits and innovate in managing life's demands. So those are some of the examples of the skills that, you know, everybody has in, you know, either high or low level. And again, the good news is that in modern, you know, psychology and applied research, we've found exercises, things that you can do to strengthen any one of these skills. And to show how you can develop your capacity as a leader in the different parts of your life, and as these six people who I describe in the book illustrate, be successful in your career by not forsaking the other parts of your life, your family, your, you know, community or society, and your private self, your mind, body, and spirit. But actually, these people got to be successful by investing in the other parts of their lives, by drawing on the strengths that one gains by connecting to family, to community, and to self. That's kind of the big idea.
Why has this become so difficult, or has it always been difficult?
Well, you know, most of the world's religions, at some level, force you to kind of think about what matters most, who matters most, and what you can do to make the world better. And what I've done here is simply to capture the wisdom of those ancient ideas in the modern context, in the modern business context, but also really for really anyone. And we're doing this with students, too, with kids in high school. It's harder now because, as I said, the digital revolution has changed the way we communicate much more reactively. Bombarded, you know, by so much information, it's harder to step back and reflect on what matters most, who matters most. And there's a lot of confusion as roles in society for men and women are rapidly evolving. You know, the structure of the family, radically different today than it was in the past. So there's a lot of change and a lot of, you know, new tools that we have for communicating, connecting with the people who matter most to us, to be able to draw boundaries between the different parts of our lives. It's just become a lot harder to do because we all carry with us a smartphone which connects us to the entire world, and it's hard to shut off. So these are new challenges that have created, I think, a greater demand for new tools, new models that are well-suited to today's pressures that enable people to gain a little bit more control and strengthen their capacity to bring together the different parts of their lives in a way that's a little more harmonious and fruitful.
One of the important things in the book, Leading the Life You Want, one of the important things here is that you took six models, six people, mm-hmm. and used them as examples of achieving this life that you want. Those six models, Sheryl Sandberg, Tom Tierney, Eric Greitens, Michelle Obama, Julie Foudy, and Bruce Springsteen. Why did you choose those six?
Well, that's a great question. I had literally hundreds, thousands to choose from. And that's another thing that I would like listeners to understand, that, you know, there are many, many people out there, probably people that you know, who are out there, you know, achieving a life of significance by their own standards, in ways that allow them to take what they're passionate about, what they, you know, what is special about them, and convert it somehow into something that's of value to other people. That's what's common to these six people and to the many, many people that I have studied and worked with and that my students have studied. So I've had for years and years, for over a dozen years, students writing biographies of leaders they admire and showing how they have, following these principles of being real, being whole, being innovative, how they've managed to achieve great things in the world by integrating the different parts of their lives in a way that works for all of them. And so I had to choose. I couldn't write about all of them, so I wanted three men and three women. I wanted to represent three different kind of sectors of society. So there's three, you know, two from business, two from the public sector. Eric Greitens is a military hero who has founded a not-for-profit called The Mission Continues, which is about helping veterans to heal by giving them opportunities to serve back here at home, and also from sports and entertainment. So Bruce, everybody knows who Bruce is. Julie Foudy was the co-captain of the iconic women's championship soccer team that won the World Cup and then the Olympic gold. And she's also gone on to found leadership academies for girls and to fight for Title IX rights. So that's how I chose them. I wanted them to be representative of men and women and also of different industries. And some people, you know, have told me that, you know, those are bad choices, and I can't relate to that person as a great leader. That's okay. I don't expect everybody to like all these people, but what I do expect and what I've heard already is that they are instructive cases for anyone to look at and say, ah, I see how they grew into people of significance. I see how they took what was important to them and made that a value to other people. I see the skills that they used to get there. And most importantly for me, I see what I can do to get closer to that kind of model myself, even if I'm not going to be a Bruce Springsteen or Sheryl Sandberg myself.
Yeah, and that's probably part of the question. This is not necessarily the most representative group of people that you could look at. They're all really quite successful. That's an obvious advantage right off the top that most people don't enjoy.
Well, but they didn't start that way. None of these six people was born with a lot of wealth or a lot of, you know, support beyond, you know, their own resources and their families. And in some cases, you know, they struggled mightily. So it's true that now, you know, these people have tons of money, all kinds of resources, supportive spouses, but three of them are on their second marriages. And none of them started out with what they have now. So part of the story that I write about each one of them is to show the arc of their development and to show how, by making choices about what mattered most to them, by bringing others along with them, by serving other people, they have grown. They have become stronger. They have become more successful. And so, yeah, if you look at the surface and say, well, it's very easy for Sheryl Sandberg to have a full and rich life. She's a billionaire. That's true. But she didn't start that way. Same for Bruce. Same for all of them. They all became the people they became, partly because of talent, partly because of luck, but a lot because of what they learned along the way and how they took themselves from where they started to where they are now.
Give me an example of a challenge that they did have to overcome or are continuing to try to overcome.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think Michelle Obama's story illustrates well is the difficulties in being true to who you are. And so when she first got to Princeton, where she was an undergrad, it was not easy for her in the 80s as a young African-American woman from the south side of Chicago to, you know, to find her way in the Ivy League, you know, pristine campus at Princeton, where she was clearly in the minority in many, many ways. And she ended up writing her senior thesis about the experience of being an African-American in the Ivy League. And that took a lot of guts. Because, you know, she had to look at her experience and speak about it in a way that was true, in a way that was helpful to her, in a way that was helpful to other people. And one of the things that, you know, she's, I think, a great example of is someone who is unafraid to look at the reality surrounding her and to try to figure out, all right, what can I do to make it better for me and for the people around me? And to not be afraid of trying new things. So another one of the skills that she illustrates really well is embracing change courageously, trying new things that enable her to have an increasingly, you know, deeper, more powerful impact. And that's certainly true of all six of these people. They are avid learners, avid thirst for knowledge to improve their skill and their impact.
We're talking with Stuart Friedman, the book Leading the Life You Want. Skills for Integrating Work and Life, Leading the Life You Want by Stuart Friedman. The conversation continues in just a moment. Money Radio, thanks so much for joining us. Our guest today, Stuart Friedman. He is the author, actually, of a couple of books. Total Leadership, and the most recent book, Leading the Life You Want, Skills for Integrating Work and Life, Leading the Life You Want. Part of this idea of leading the life you want requires 100% personal responsibility. Is that right?
Yeah, I would agree with that, that what is common to all six of these people of great impact and great significance is that they believe that they can have an impact on the world with their, you know, particular skills and passions and interests, and they take action accordingly. Now, that doesn't mean that they operate in isolation. In fact, quite the contrary. They are all skilled at getting help, asking for help. But it's usually in the service of becoming stronger to be able to have a positive impact for others. So I ask for help, but not just for my own self-aggrandizement or enrichment. I ask for help so that I can, you know, take my idea and bring it to the world and help others with what it is that I'm trying to get done. So yes, personal responsibility, meaning, you know, I'm the agent of change here. I have an opportunity to choose to act in a way that's going to be good for me and the world around me. And then finding the resources, getting the help to do that. And they're more likely to get help if indeed they're helping others all along the way and that's their mindset. And that's kind of the paradox of the title. So the title is Leading the Life You Want. But as I write about in the conclusion, as I, you know, reflect on these stories and their meaning and the skills that they illustrate, what really shines through is the idea that you have more power to lead the life you want to the extent that what you're doing is trying to help other people. And that is a paradox, but it really does seem to be true.
Are we really set up for that? And I'm kind of thinking there is this idea of balance. For a lot of folks, just getting some family leave, maternity leave, medical leave, something like that, particularly in the United States, particularly tough.
Absolutely. So, you know, as I've written about in other books, we've got to attack this issue of, you know, giving people the resources that they need to live the lives that they truly want, not just by, you know, individual level training. You know, I'm a psychologist, an organizational psychologist, and so my focus is on the tools that people can use to take control of their lives in whatever context they're in. You know, it could even be a very harsh culture or a very, you know, harsh part of the world. There's always a possibility for individual initiative to make things a little bit better. It's hard in some, you know, in most parts of the world. Reality is cruel. However, we can do a lot more as organizations in creating opportunities for people to have more freedom and, you know, greater chance to integrate the different parts of their lives and as a society. And so in other books I've written, I address the organizational impact and value in caring for the whole person, because what businesses are finding is that if you take care of the whole person, you get more value from them. And that balance is the wrong way to think about it. Think instead about mutual gain. What can we do that's going to make our people more productive and freer? And the you know, there is always an answer to that question. I have never found a company or an individual who couldn't answer that question in the affirmative. You know, what can we do to make things better for us, not just me or you? And certainly as a society, the same is definitely true, and we're moving closer in the direction of social supports that enable people to get the child care that they need, to have schools that take care of, you know, children in ways that enable working parents to do what they need to do to care for their kids. But we are woefully far behind most of the other developed countries in the developing world, and it's really a national tragedy.
I thought one of the great parts to the book was the conclusion, try to be kinder to others and to yourself. Stuart Friedman, for more information, totalleadership.org is the website, totalleadership.org, and that was the title of the first book, the new book, Leading the Life You Want, Skills for Integrating Work and Life, Leading the Life You Want by Stuart Friedman. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Really enjoyed it.